In the Marvel Cinematic Universe, crimes against superheroes are considered especially heinous. In Hollywood, the dedicated producers who remedy these vicious felonies are part of an elite squad known as the Avengers Unit. These are their stories.
The following scene is a recreation of an exchange between former Sony chairperson Amy Pascal and Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man.
I can't do this. It's over.
No. Please. Please don't say that. I know I've been selfish, but I can do better. I can change.
It's not that simple.
We love each other. I love you. We have problems. When people have problems, they work it out. They talk to each other.
Hey guys, and welcome to The Fiction Fix, a Screen Junkie's Guide to Everything, your one-stop shop for film, TV, and everything in between. I'm Ben.
I'm Rohan.
And today we're going to be talking about all things Spider-Man and Marvel.
Yes, there is a whole lot to talk about because so much has happened recently.
I mean, it's been a few weeks since the news actually came out,
yeah.
But we got so much to talk about because this deal between Spider-Man, Sony,
yeah,
and Marvel is just, it has ramifications in a positive light for all of Hollywood, not just for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And I mean, we've talked about this at length earlier on. I mean, I've always been a very massive fan and advocate of getting Spider-Man into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, especially since Spider-Man is my favourite superhero, and he has very classically been portrayed in the Avengers.
That's exactly right. Rohan, before we get started, you wanted to give people who don't know, who have kind of been living under a rock for the past few weeks, exactly what actually happened between Sony and Marvel.
Yeah. So up until now, Sony has had exclusive rights to the character of Spider-Man, which has been a little bit tricky because conventionally Spider-Man has always been a part of the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Up until now, Sony has refused to allow the character of Spider-Man to be appropriated by the Marvel Cinematic Universe, who have kind of been hinting that they want him to be in
a part of the Avengers,
yeah. And so what has happened is, after the dismal failure of Spider-Man 2, the newest Spider-Man movie starring Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone, Sony have agreed to allow the character of Spider-Man to be in an Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to try and not cover off everything that we covered off in our past Marvel and DC discussion, because if you want to go check out what happened then go check out, I think it was episode 9 or 10?
Yeah, yeah.
9 or 10, something like that.
A while ago.
But this episode, we're going to talk exclusively about the deal that went down between Sony and Marvel and exactly what that means for our future.
Yeah, and the future of Spider-Man is very interesting, especially now when, after Spider-Man 2, hope was kind of at an all-time low.
Yeah.
I mean, worse than Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire's famous dancing scene.
Oh my god. My favourite.
Yeah, best thing ever.
I learned all my dance moves on the dance floor from him.
But, I mean, as someone who read Spider-Man comics, I was really into them in year 12. That was my stress relief while I was doing my exams. I always watched, you know, I always saw Spider-Man as part of the Avengers universe. And he was very involved with the classic Avengers. So, Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk.
Exactly.
And so Spider-Man was an integral part of that dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was the kind of the kid, the jokey, awkward, nerdy one. And it always felt to me like there was something missing in terms of Spider-Man not being in that group.
And became really stark and really obvious when they announced the Civil War storyline with Captain America 3 being focusing on Iron Man and Captain America in this feud to get mutants and to get superpowered individuals registered with S.H.I.E.L.D. and with the government so they can keep tabs on them.
Yeah.
And I think that's part to do with Iron Man / Tony Stark's guilt as a result of his creation of Ultron in Avengers Age of Ultron. And Spider-Man traditionally has been a massive part of that Civil War storyline. We won't go into too much detail about how he was involved, purely because we want to leave that to your imagination into the Marvel Cinematic Universe to show us exactly how. But just know that he was actually extraordinarily integral to that storyline, and it felt like there was a stark missing point there. There was a stark absence of this really integral character that we needed to kind of round things out, and Peter Parker was that person.
Yeah, and I think that generally when when they announced that they were going to be looking at the Civil War storyline, that people kind of thought to themselves, okay, well, where is Spider-Man?
Yeah,
where's
exactly.
Spider-Man and all this? Because they have done a pretty good job up until now of making things work without, you know, specific characters and with a little bit of separation and segregation. But I'm really happy that they've made this decision and they've gone through with these deals with Sony, and it looks like Spider-Man will be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe now.
And he said it best when he said that there was a real low point in our hope very recently, especially with the Sony hacking scandal, where we saw that there were dialogues between, or there was dialogue between Amy Pascal, the chairperson of Sony, and Kevin Feige and the rest of Marvel, in trying to have negotiations to get Spider-Man over across to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And it looked like Sony was being a little bit of a...
very protective and kind of douchey about it.
Yeah, douchey was the exact right word, that they just weren't letting it happen. And I think that it's really important to understand the power that fans have in this scenario.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, because people barracked so hard for Spider-Man to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I feel like when there is that much support from the people and from the fans, that they really have no other choice but to do it.
Yeah, as soon as I found out this news, I found out at work. Don't ask me how I found out. I just found out, you know, I wasn't on my phone or anything at work. And I found out and I went home immediately and I wrote up like a 1500 word article to send to no one just for my own pleasure.
Yeah.
And it was, and I realized in writing this that this really showcases the true power of fans and fandoms nowadays in the 21st century.
Yeah.
That they never had before. And because previously, you know, you had these industries, these massive production companies who were always about, you know, money, making money. How are we going to make this cash? How are we going to, you know, make our incomes an extra figure this year?
Yeah.
And this deal between Sony and Marvel, Marvel being the kingpins, kind of saying, you know, we can make billions of dollars without Spider-Man. And Sony being like, well, Spider-Man is all we have to make billions, but we know that he could do better with you. Like, what do we do? Do their pride... does it take over what is necessary for a good story? And this deal, this agreement between Sony and Marvel, where now Spider-Man can feature in Marvel Cinematic Universe and other characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe can appear in Spider-Man flicks, although the rights still belong to Sony, it breaks ground for not just the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but also for Hollywood and film in general.
Yeah.
Because this is something that has never been done before. This massive agreement over one character that between these two massive production companies that have always been feuding and back and forth. And it just shows that you can find common ground because that is what is necessary for the story.
Yeah, I think that, one, it shows a lot of power within the creative elements of these storylines. But then, two, I think that it's a really good point in terms of looking at both of these companies as film powerhouses. Both struggling to get that larger portion of the market share, and then suddenly coming together and putting aside their pride and putting aside their arguments and their childish bickering to allow one idea to explore, you know, its maximum potential.
Absolutely. Well, Marvel is in line with Disney, and Sony and Disney have always had a feud against each other. They're really massive film production companies.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And let's look at the last Sony, big Sony film and the last big Marvel film, right? You have Iron Man 3, right, made over $1 billion. Captain America 2 almost made $1 billion. And Skyfall was the last really big Sony film with making well over $1 billion.
Yeah.
So you can tell that the fan bases and the ability to write really good movies that have a great story is what makes the cash. Because Skyfall was an incredibly well-done movie.
It really was.
Captain America 2 was a very well-done movie. Iron Man 3, despite its flaws, was also quite a good movie. I enjoyed that film. And it's because it was done very well, and it was done so that it was authentic to the main plot, and it was done to... And it was done to really appease fans. Well, not really appease fans. It was done to make them happy and give them what they wanted, which was authentic to the original plot.
I think that one thing to just understand, though, as well, is that it's been a little bit of time for both of these guys, in terms of the fact that Iron Man was 2013 and Skyfall was 2012.
That's true.
It's been almost 2 years for both of them when they've had a massive hit. And I think that getting such hype and such press and such, you know, large social awareness for this deal.
There was a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it's really going to benefit both parties.
And I think because they know that putting Spider-Man into an Avengers film will make cash.
Yeah.
Spider-Man in a crossover with the Avengers, like, who doesn't want to see that? Every single fan across the world will see that film probably about 3 or 4 times.
Definitely.
And they knew that. It was just this sense of pride that all these production companies have because they're massive and they think they're top notch. You know, they're Top Gun. They're, you know, the Maverick to the Goose.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So this deal, this agreement between Marvel and Sony has really foregrounded or has really, it's established this new beginning for Hollywood where production companies actually put the plot and the storyline ahead of making money. Because they know now with Skyfall, with Iron Man 3, with Captain America 2, that putting the storyline first is what makes money.
Yeah.
And putting Spider-Man in an Avengers film makes everyone money because it makes a great film.
Definitely. I like the direction that this takes us in terms of prioritizing creative continuity and creative different... Not creative. By prioritizing creative continuity and creative development over making money on films, because I think that one thing that I've always been a little bit skeptical about is just this idea that film production houses operate as a business, and so by making blockbuster movies, their end goal really is to make as much money as is physically possible.
Absolutely.
But I sometimes think that these film powerhouses forget the fact that by developing your ideas to such an extent, you can actually make money from that.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll make more money on a film that has well-rounded ideas and that is taking, going directions with those ideas that the fans want to see. You can actually make more money through that than you can by just making blockbuster schmaltzy movies.
And I think we said that in our last Marvel podcast, that they would make well over $1 billion with Spider-Man crossover, right? And I think that may have been in the back of their minds. And romantically, I don't want to think that that was the main reason that they made a deal.
Even though
Sony was struggling and they knew that they had to make a deal to make money, Marvel were going to make money anyway.
Mm.
I just, the romantic, idealistic, optimistic part of me is just thinking to itself that Marvel initiated this deal because they want to do what's right for its fans. Because Marvel would not be what it is
without
the fans. Without Sony wouldn't be what it is without the fans of James Bond.
Yeah, but Sony has Spectre in the works. That's going to be out in about a year, maybe a little bit less. So I think that they did... That's true. I take back a little bit of what I said earlier, that Sony does have a lot of horizons that are going to get them a lot of money. But in the same time, I really like the fact that they have come together over this idea and they are putting aside their differences to allow the fans to really experience what they want. Mm. And I think that that's important in terms of just developing the importance of, you know, superheroes like Spider-Man and the Marvel Universe as something that's intricate to different generations. Because it's something that we grew up with.
Absolutely.
And it's something that kids in generations above us are going to start growing up with as well,
mm-hmm.
which is exciting. But in the end run, Ben, I mean, where do you think this is going to go? What do you think that this means for the future of Spider-Man and superheroes?
So they've only really signed him on for one film so far.
Yeah.
We don't know what film. Some people are saying it's Captain America 3, which would be great.
I would love that.
But I mean, Iron Man, Captain America, and Spider-Man in one film. I'm not sure whether my brain can handle that.
There would be a couple of ambulances waiting outside each hospital to get out the catatonic people.
I'm going
to
pre-order someone.
Yeah.
And I'm going to probably buy a defibrillator just to make sure.
Yeah,
bring it in with me. And I don't know, maybe they'll bring it in for the Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2. But all they've got him in for is one film so far. And they've moved back a lot of the films to accommodate having a Spider-Man standalone film at some point. We know that they're going to replace Andrew Garfield.
Which I'm quite upset by because I really liked Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man.
But at the same time, I'm absolutely fine with it if it means that they're going to choose someone who is in line with the production company that can do it right.
Have you heard any of the rumors about them getting Donald Glover to play the new Spider-Man? Because back in the day when they replaced Tobey Maguire with Andrew Garfield, there was a campaign running to get Donald Glover from Community and from Childish Gambino fame to play the first African-American Spider-Man. And I definitely think that he would have done well. I feel like Donald Glover now has changed his public image a little bit and become a little bit more of a kind of like CD player as opposed to back in the day when he was a bit of a nerdy stand-up comedian kind of guy. But I definitely think that it would be interesting to get an African-American Spider-Man, especially since Ultimate Spider-Man in the Ultimate Spider-Man universe, Miles Morales is
They're looking at that. People are thinking to really distinguish itself from past Sony recreations is to recreate Spider-Man again without the backstory. No one wants to see the backstory again. Let's Marvel, if you're going to do it right, do not
please,
have a backstory.
Please don't just make another Spider-Man movie where he gets bitten by a radioactive spider. They made
Uncle Ben dies.
Yeah.
No one cares.
Like, they have made 2 movies in 10 years. We do not need any more Spider-Man origin stories.
Exactly. Not even in a flashback. Just please
nothing.
And to do that, yes, as you say, was it Miles Morales?
Yeah.
Yeah, Miles Morales, who was the African-American Spider-Man, he would really kind of really create this distinct line.
Yeah, especially since Miles Morales has different origin stories to Peter Parker.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So there's a lot more scope and depth, and it's his storyline is a lot darker. A lot more scope and depth for Miles Morales in terms of what they can do with that character and in terms of introducing the public to something they've never seen before.
And the thing about Spider-Man in the Avengers is that the main part of him, the main real feature of him, is this real idea that he has this secret identity, because the rest of the Avengers don't have a secret identity.
Yeah.
I mean, let's think about it. Thor doesn't have one.
No.
Stark doesn't have one.
Opposite.
Banner doesn't have one. Rogers doesn't have one. None of them have one.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is the first person to be in the Avengers to have a secret identity.
Yeah. And you see it a lot in the comics.
Absolutely. And there's this whole idea that if you introduce him into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you do not give him a backstory. You keep the mask on for most of the film, because that creates an aura of mystery. Who is it? Not just for the characters, but for the audience as well. And what I think would be great is that you don't reveal who is the actual Spider-Man until near the end of the near the end of the film.
He takes off his mask and Donald Glover is standing there, and then he goes into his stand-up comedy about Walmart. So like, yeah, you never know. Or he takes off the mask and then he starts saying, "And now that it's over."
They've been looking at other people as well. They've been looking at the guy from Percy Jackson, Logan Lerman.
Yeah, exactly. And I wouldn't be that averse to Logan Lerman.
I liked him in Fury.
Yeah.
If they had have said that they were going to think of him as Spider-Man after I saw Percy Jackson, I would have been a bit...
Yeah, no.
Untrustworthy of that. But after Fury, I have a little bit more faith in his acting ability now. So I would actually quite like him in that. And also Perks of Being Wallflower.
Yeah, exactly.
Donald Glover, look, maybe. I've not been the biggest Community fan.
Yeah. Well, I think that Donald Glover has got a lot going on right now.
I think they could do better, though.
Yeah, well, in terms of him releasing his new album and he's filming his show Atlanta at the moment, I think that he might be a little bit too involved to go into this. And I think that also a lot of people may criticize Sony in terms of doing something just to get ratings and viewers, which I don't 100% agree with, but I mean, you never know.
But I mean, they won't be getting ratings and viewers just to have an African-American Spider-Man, because I mean, they've already got Black Panther in the works, they've already got The Falcon with Anthony Mackie, so it's not about having the African-American side of things, it's just about having this new take on Spider-Man that's really, really important.
And I think that it is important that they move on from, I mean, as much as I liked Andrew Garfield, and trust me, I really liked Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. I thought he was so much better than Tobey Maguire.
Oh,
but I just think, but I do think that it is important to move on. So if they are going to get a new Spider-Man, make sure that it's someone they are willing to stick with for a couple of years.
Absolutely. And I think they need to introduce him as a very minor character in one of the films. And then have his own... I think he should have like an increasing level of involvement.
Yeah, like exponentially increasing. Absolutely. I like that idea.
So he's like a really minor character in Captain America 3. He just kind of comes up at the end with like, oh, there's this guy over here. He's got superpowers and should we register and whatnot. And then the next film is kind of doing a lot more stuff. He's still got the mask on. And the next film, standalone film. So I like this sort of, this exponentially increasing involvement.
Yeah.
Because it kind of shows that he's more woven throughout the plot than just being, you know, with DC, just standalone film, standalone film, standalone film, then merge at the end with one big Justice League film. It doesn't work that way.
No, definitely. I think that, I just think that it's important for Sony to pick someone that's worth casting as Spider-Man.
And someone who's young enough to stay on until 2021 or whatever.
Because, I mean, we don't want people to look at Sony like people look at the Australian government and be like, oh yeah, cool, we're just going to change main characters every 5 seconds.
Absolutely. Well, that's something that Marvel really relies on, is having these characters and having these actors that stay throughout the entire thing. And they trust those people. They kind of like... They went a bit backwards on that after Iron Man, and when they got rid of the guy who played Rhodey, and they replaced him with
Don Cheadle,
who did phenomenally. I preferred Don Cheadle to the other guy, like no questions asked, no comparison, right? So that was a good recasting. But other than that, Marvel has really shown its consistency with its casting.
Mm.
And I really hope they can continue that with Spider-Man.
Yeah, so do I.
And I mean, if anyone's going to do it right, it's probably going to be Marvel. Right?
Yeah, definitely. I'm really hopeful for the future. I think that this may actually turn out to be really, really good.
Yeah, but not just for Marvel, not just for like superheroes in general, but just for the industry.
Yeah.
Just for the film industry and just for production companies in general. This deal is massive, Rohan. This got me super, super excited. This got me more excited than when I saw the first trailer for The Dark Knight, right?
Yeah, right.
Which was like a big moment for me because I was never a big superhero fan until I saw The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
And this has so many repercussions.
It really does. And I'm hopeful for the future.
And for people who know a lot about film, for people who are, you know, very into that, it gets us very excited.
I'm incredibly excited.
It's a real cathartic moment for us, right?
Yeah, it really is.
Not just because Spider-Man's in the Avengers, but just because two massive production companies made an agreement.
Yeah.
They found a common ground where they put their egos behind and in the back seat.
Yeah.
And they let story take the wheel and we're just here along for the ride.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it for us today for this episode. Next episode, join us. It's a very special podcast.
And episode 20 as well.
So yeah.
What an episode 20.
Wow, two decades of episodes. I can't say that. That's not true.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Look, maybe one day. Let's look at where we're at in, 2034.
Oh, jeez.
But until next time, you guys can find us on Facebook. Make sure you like us at facebook.com/fictionfixofficial.
You can find me on Instagram at the handle at Ben Chappell.
You can find me on Twitter with the handle at Rohan Hora.
Thanks to Tuesday Morrison for his music. And until next time, we'll make your podcast again. Won't you stay? I never really care for when the skies were blue. I'd rather have you than snow today. Rain, won't you stay? I never really care for when the skies were blue. I'd rather have you than snow today. My turn signal blinks before I turn left or right, almost in sync with my flashing engine light. It could be worse, I could be cursed to steering old habits, rolling on stolen bikes, to working with an organ with less than golden pipes, to be headed nowhere with a head full of hopeful hype. I'm not the man you settle for, who can only maintain a crush on the girl.